birth of Christ because he was born to die. It is a time that we do celebrate that. You may celebrate in different ways. You may celebrate it like the world celebrates it. You may celebrate it like the three wise men celebrate it. All right? Bringing your gifts to the Lord. Obviously, the greatest gift that you and I can give to the Lord is ourself. All right? Make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Make sure that heaven is your home, your sins have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And this morning, I want you to even be sure that you have the peace of Christ in your heart, that your heart is filled with the peace of Christ. Looking at Luke chapter 2 and verses 10 through 14. So, verses 10 through 14. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped and swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Father, we do ask again that you would bless our time. We ask, Father, you would open up our hearts and minds to the truth of your word. I pray that you would draw us unto you. And I do pray, Father, that you would bless each person that's here this morning. I ask that you would speak to our hearts. I ask, Father, that we would, Lord, even respond to your calling. There's something you want to do in all of our hearts. There's something you want to do in each of our lives. You want us to walk with you faithfully on a daily basis. You want to do great and mighty things in our life. And, Father, we have to let you. We have to, as Samuel would say, here am I, Lord. I mean, we have to allow you to work in our life because you never have pushed your way into a person's life, but you have shown yourself. You have drawn people to you, and we either reject it or we draw nigh unto you. And I pray, Father, that we would draw nigh unto you. I pray that, Father, we would be constrained by the love of Christ, that the life that you've given us, we would want to live for you to show our gratitude and our love for the life that Christ lived for us from birth to his death, a sinless, perfect life, so he could be the sinless, perfect Lamb of God, slain for all of eternity, or for all the sins of the world. And I thank you, Father, for the gift of salvation, Lord, the gift that keeps on giving, that gift that has the joy, the peace, the love, the gift that no one can take away. But, Father, so many people don't have peace in their hearts. So many people are looking for peace, but they're looking in all the wrong places. And Father, they need to not look in the wrong places or in the wrong people, but in the one who is called the Prince of Peace. And I pray, Father, this morning you'd speak to our hearts. I pray that, Father, that our hearts would be open. I pray, Father, we would just draw close to you. And if anybody in here is lacking the peace of Christ in their life that passes all understanding, that they, Father, would see their need, and they would see the source of that peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, and call upon him. Father, we ask it in his precious name. Amen. Like I said, a lot of people are lacking peace in their life. They're lacking peace in their heart. And many times, the Lord would say, fear not, to his disciples. When you read in the Gospels and you read twice, Jesus put his disciples into two different storms. One storm, he went with them. He was asleep in the back part of the boat, and the storm arose, and the men tried their best to bail the water out, and yet they could not. And when they got to their wits' end, when they were full of fear, they turned to Christ and said, Lord, carest thou not that we perish? And the Lord would stand up, and he would rebuke the winds and the waves and the storm and say, peace, be still. Other times he would tell his disciples to fear not, because he wanted there to be a calming in their hearts. He wanted them to know that he is the Prince of Peace, that no matter what storm you may be in, we can have peace in our hearts. Jesus came to bring peace in this world that is full of so much chaos. That's why the angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Do you have peace in your heart this morning? The Bible reminds us in John 16:33, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What is going on in your world today? The Lord conquered the world for us. Everything that we could face, he conquered it. We can have peace because we have victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's happening in your world today? Your world might be your family. Your world might be your employment. Your world might be your marriage. Whatever it is that you're having problems and you don't have peace in, remember that true peace comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, he says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Now, this time of year, you're going to receive gifts, and you might receive one gift, you might receive many gifts from different people. But again, the greatest gift that we know that a person can receive is Christ, because he is the gift that is complete. He is the gift that completes anybody that will trust him as their Lord and Savior. And with his gift does come peace. Now, with peace, true peace, peace that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, it will affect a person in three different ways for good. It will affect a person in three different ways for good. But I want you to keep this question in your mind. Do you have peace in your heart? You won't always have peace around you, but you can always have peace in your heart. And this is how you will know if you have the peace of Christ in your heart. You will have a rest in your soul. Your soul will be at rest. You won't have turmoil on the inside. You won't be anxious. You won't be fearful. Because Jesus says often, "Fear not." Again, the angel Gabriel came to Mary, and when he saluted Mary, he said, "Fear not." Because you understand, if an angel just appeared, if someone were just to appear in this room right now, out of thin air, just appear, there'd be many in here that would fear. We would be taken back about what's going on. But the angel Gabriel would tell Mary, "Fear not," because she had been chosen to be a vessel to carry the Lord Jesus Christ. She is the mother of Jesus, but she also needed a Savior. She needed the blood of Jesus Christ to be shed for her sins as well. But do you have a rest to your soul? Because the peace of Christ brings an internal rest to the soul. The Bible says in Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls." Now, the greatest turmoil that a person's soul faces is knowing what's going to happen after death, knowing if heaven is their home. A lot of people worry about what's going to happen when they die. But the Lord tells us there are only two places a person will go, one of two places, heaven or hell. Heaven is a perfect place, a beautiful place, because God is there. There is no more death. There's no more sorrow. There's no more life difficulties. Whatever you face in life, it's not there. It is perfect because God is there and God is perfect. It's so perfect that there's no need for the sun or the moon to shine, because the glory of God shines throughout eternity. It's his light that we will be a part of, and we will experience his light like none other. But it's a rest unto the soul, because the opposite What's the opposite of good? Bad. What's the opposite of evil? Good. So you think about, if God is in heaven and all his goodness and all his glory is there, what's the opposite that somebody is going to receive if they don't receive Christ as their Savior? Darkness. Darkness and turmoil, not just in this life, but in the next. Do you have a rest unto your soul? Have you ever faced any difficulties in your life? Sure, we all face difficulties in our life, but how were you through that difficulty? Did you have peace on the inside? Did you have rest because you were trusting in Christ and you knew Christ was with you because he promised, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? He promises in his word, and this is where faith really comes in to play in your life. Do you really trust the words of Christ? Do you really trust what Jesus has said? Because he said, these things I've spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall. He didn't say in the world ye might. Jesus says you definitely will have problems in the world. Ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. If you and I are trusting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we're trusting him to guide us through this life, and we are relying upon his peace, and we're relying upon his joy, and we are relying upon his strength, we can have a rest unto our soul that we don't have to fear anything. You don't have to fear things that change in your life. You don't have to fear the what ifs, the unknowns. What does your future hold? I don't know. But you don't have to worry about it. You don't even have to worry about anything because you have Christ in your life and he will guide you. Have you ever lost sleep at night? I can't ever think of a time where I have lost sleep. My wife says, I'm like a rock. I just sleep. We had a tornado years ago go over our house in Wisconsin. I vaguely kind of remembered. I kind of woke up out of this deep sleep, and I heard a freight train, and I just went back to sleep. I lived nowhere near railroad tracks at that time. And when I woke up the next morning, I realized, wait, there was a tornado, but I slept like a baby. Because the Bible says it is vain for you to rise up early to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Now there are times where we're troubled. You may be troubled about a child. You may be troubled about a spouse, a loved one, someone you're praying for. But God has never wanted you to go without his peace that truly does bring sleep into your life. It helps you to be at rest. When you're waiting, you can have rest in your soul. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Isaiah chapter 40. If you go to Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. Because, I mean, life's difficult. Sometimes we get at the end of our rope. Sometimes we're just physically, spiritually fatigued, right? We're trying to live our life for the Lord. We're trying to trust the Lord. We're trying to follow the Lord's direction in our life. And because we're living in a sin-cursed world, it's not always easy. And Jesus didn't promise the Christian life would be easy, but he did promise victory, because that victory comes through him. And the greatest victory you and I need is to have rest in our soul where we're not anxious, we're not fearful. When we hear sudden news of difficulty, we don't just respond with fear and doubt, but we respond with everything will be okay because God's in control and I have Christ to lead me through it. But the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. God's not asking you to be perfect in your Christian life because he knows we can't be. but he wants us to be perfect in trusting him, relying upon him, and waiting on him. That's one of the most difficult things for us to do, is to wait. That's an ugly word. W-A-I-T, wait. Nobody likes waiting. That's why when I drink my hot tea, I put the water in the microwave for 2 minutes and it's done. I've done the kettle on the stove and that takes too long. I want it instant. I want it now, because that's the mindset that we have. If I have to wait any longer, then I'm not going to wait for it. But you know, the truth is, good things do come to those who wait on the Lord. Because there are just difficulties that can cause us to not have rest in our soul. But if you have the peace of Christ in your heart, you will have a rest to your soul. You will not fear. You'll have your strength renewed as you're waiting on the Lord. In Zacharias' life, Zacharias and his wife Elizabeth had no children. And Gabriel showed up to Zacharias in the temple and told him he was going to have a son. And that son's name is John the Baptist. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 13, Gabriel says, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." Now somebody might think, well, what's the big deal? They're going to have a son. Elizabeth's going to conceive. They're going to have a son. Name him John. Well, the problem is that Elizabeth was barren. She had never had any children. She had difficulty having children. She couldn't have children. So this was a miracle. God purposely kept Elizabeth and Zacharias from having children. You realize there are some things in your life that God doesn't give you until it's the right time? That's why it's important that we listen to Isaiah 40 and verse 31 and believe that our strength will be renewed as we wait upon the Lord. Is there something you've been praying for? Something you've been asking God to do, and it just seems like God isn't doing it? You're trusting him. You're doing what you're supposed to do. But on the inside, you're getting anxious. On the inside, you're wanting to give up. There's even a voice that's telling you, see, God doesn't keep his promises. God doesn't care what you're asking for. Because your adversary, the devil, wants you and me to believe that if we have to wait past a certain time, then God doesn't care. But God waited for Elizabeth to be past the time. Think about Abraham and Sarah, past the time of conception, 99 years old, yet she had a son. Because who's in charge? Who created the human body? God. And sometimes God keeps you from what you are praying for because he knows there's a perfect time. And he will come through and he will bless you when the time is right. But keep trusting the Lord, because what does God want to do in our life? He wants our faith to be strengthened. He wants us to be more conformed into the image of Christ. He wants us to learn how to walk with the Lord with peace, with rest in our soul as we're waiting for God to answer our prayers. And it might be that it's impossible. You're praying for something that's impossible. But God still wants you to have a rest in your soul because you have peace with Christ. You have the peace of Christ in your heart. The Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, as the angel Gabriel came to Mary, the angel said to her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." You realize you have favor with God this morning? If you didn't, he would not have died on the cross of Calvary for you. Now, as a child of God, who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who does know Christ as their Savior, you have more favor with God. And again, God was choosing Mary for a specific purpose, for a specific time. Now the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Aren't you glad nothing's impossible for God? But how would you and I respond if God would have come? Of course, he wouldn't because I'm a man. But ladies, if God came to you and you were like Mary, you weren't married, you've never been with a man, and the Lord said, you're going to have a son. Now, if you read the rest of those verses in that chapter, Mary does question, Lord, how is this possible? Because I've known not a man. She was engaged to Joseph, but they weren't married yet. So God was telling her through the angel Gabriel that God was going to do something impossible, humanly speaking. Sometimes we equate God with a human. Sometimes we think God is like this person in my life. That's why some people have a difficult time thinking that God loves them, thinking that God would die for them, thinking that God even cares about them or even knows their name. But God does. God knows every detail about your life, and there's something special he wants to do in your life. Now, when we are waiting for something impossible, God wants the peace of Christ to rule in your heart so that your soul will be at rest. He wants us to be at rest while he is prompting us to obey. You realize that there's no rest to someone who is disobeying God? I can remember as a teenager having made my decision because there were difficulties in my family. My parents divorced. I was left to pretty much just do whatever I wanted because my mom had to work 3 jobs. And I chose not to follow God anymore. Because how could God allow my parents to divorce? How could God break up my home? Now, later on in life, I would come to the truth that it wasn't God that did it, but it was sin. It was sin in the marriage. But for me, as a 13-year-old teenager, I wanted nothing to do with God. God had ruined my life. And because I knew the truth, but I was running from the truth, I had no rest in my soul. God was after me to follow him again, but I was resisting. I was resisting, and I had no rest, no peace. And God used the death of my brother-in-law, my wife's older brother, who was like a brother to me, used his death to get my attention. And I'm thankful that the Lord got my attention. But listen, now that I am on this side of my life, where I am following the Lord, I'm not perfect. So don't look too close. You'll see some fallacies. I'm not perfect. Nobody's perfect. But now that I have a heart that I do want to follow the Lord and I do want to do what the Lord wants me to do, I have a rest on the inside that, you know what, even if I mess up, he's going to help me. He's going to help me to follow through. He's going to help me to accomplish what he wants me to accomplish in my life. This is what is said in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 with Mary, with Joseph. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream. Remember, Joseph has found out that Mary is pregnant. It's not his child. He is assuming she has cheated on him. She's committed fornication. So he's contemplating how to call off the wedding, and he is such an upright man. He doesn't want to do it publicly. He doesn't want to make her a spectacle of the town. He wants to do it privately. He's trying to figure out how to do this. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. So Joseph, he is facing a very difficult situation. He's thinking, you know what? Mary has cheated on me. I've got to call this off, but I don't want to make it a big spectacle. And as the Lord speaks to him in a dream by an angel, he has to decide, am I going to obey what God's telling me, or am I going to obey my feelings? I'm sure Joseph felt betrayed by Mary, not knowing the truth, not knowing that it was God's ordained plan. He's looking at through human eyes, you know, but yet the Lord tells Joseph, hey, that child is of the Holy Ghost. That's the Son of God that she is carrying in her womb. And God chose a specific woman to do that, a woman who had favor with God. But Joseph had to obey the Lord, and he did. So guess what? He had rest in his soul, because as God was prompting him to obey, he did. You'll never find rest in your soul when you are not obeying the Lord, when you're not following the Lord's ways, when you're not letting his word be a lamp unto your feet, a light unto your path. Can we find someone who's not doing it right? Absolutely. I see them all the time. That was one of my excuses as a young man, as a young teenager, that I wanted nothing to do with God, because I saw Christians who professed to be Christians doing things that were not Christ-like. And I said, well, if they're doing that, God doesn't care, and I'll just go live my own life. But the relationship is between you and Christ, not you, Christ, and others. Now, your relationship and my relationship with Christ will affect other people, but your relationship with the Lord is not based on what other people are doing. I'm sure that God is prompting all of us to do something in our life for him, and we might be resisting it. Let Christ rule in your heart. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart so you have rest in your soul. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10 again, the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David, which is in Bethlehem, which is Christ the Lord, a Savior. Do you know what rest in your soul does? It helps us to be reminded we have salvation, the greatest peace. Again, there might be turmoil around you, but you have peace in your heart. You have rest in your soul because you know Christ as your Savior. That's the greatest gift anyone can receive during the month of December, during this holiday season, any time of the year. Not just December, not just December the 25th, when a lot of Christians celebrate the birth of Christ. Any time of the year is a good time to receive God's gift. The Bible reminds us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. But the peace of God in your heart brings a rest to your soul, and it brings rejoicing to the soul. Because if you're saved and you know Christ is your Savior, you can have great joy. You can rejoice in the Lord. Again, the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy. And it is a great joy to know the Lord as your Savior, because it's good news. These angels came to these shepherds. You know what? The shepherds were not liked by the townspeople, because they stunk. Have you ever been around a farmer who works on his farm? They smell like the farm. You know, a dairy farm, I mean, they smell like the cows. I mean, if you're familiar with Cook's Dairy Farm right around the corner, you know, we go there to get ice cream, we go there to get the hamburger and all that. You realize when you leave, you smell the farm air on the bag they gave you, on the containers, because it's all right there. But guess who God gave that special message to first, that Christ had been born? To the shepherds. Because obviously Jesus is the great shepherd. But the message was, fear not. Fear not, because they bring tidings of great joy. The peace of Christ in our heart truly does bring rejoicing to the soul because of the good news that you heard one day in your life. Isaiah 40 verse 9 tells us, O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up, be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Do you realize on that night the whole town was sleeping except for those shepherds because they were up all night tending to the sheep? Mary and Joseph are up and they come to the stable and they see Christ there in the manger. They had heard good news. And what did they do with the good news? They acted upon it. Do you know that the Lord Jesus Christ loves you? Do you know that he died for your sins and that he rose again? The Bible says that he died, he rose, he lives. You know, some people hear that news. They hear the crucifixion. They hear the resurrection of Christ. They hear all the things that Jesus did for them, and they still reject it. What do we do when we hear good news? You know, it's a good news when a child is born. I have my second grandchild. I have a grandson and a granddaughter, and they both are just, you know, treasures in my life, treasures in the other grandparents' lives. When we waited and waited and waited as they were at the hospital, then we got the phone call or text, you know, she's here. Man, that was good news. Because you're praying for a good outcome, healthy delivery, healthy baby, all of that. But the greatest news is that God has given his gift. His gift that truly does bring peace into our heart and brings a rest into a person's soul and brings joy. Because again, it is a gift that cannot be taken away. Like I said last night, gifts can be stolen. Many people have their homes broken into during the Christmas season and their gifts stolen. People have their Amazon boxes on their front porch stolen. But this is a gift that no one can steal because it is an eternal gift. It's God's gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. It is good news and it is for all people. The Bible says in Psalm 96, declare his glory among the heathen, his wonders among all people, for the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. There is a rejoicing that comes through the peace of Christ. And because of the peace of Christ in a person's heart that has trusted Christ as their Savior, there is a redemption to the soul. Again, the world has a peace that does not comfort, complete, and help a person. The world's peace is a fleeting peace. But if you have true peace in your heart because of Jesus Christ, it is because of the redemption. It is because of what he has done, and that is what he was born to do. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Remember, Mary was told that he should be called Jesus because he would save his people. He would die for the sins of the world. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. When you know that heaven is your home, and again, this time of year, many people will commit suicide. They'll commit suicide because their soul is troubled and they cannot find a way of escape. They cannot find something to take the pain away. They cannot find peace in their life. But those that come to know Christ will find a peace that satisfies all their longing. When they put their faith and trust in the redemption plan, in the redeeming of Christ, what Christ did, the blood being shed for the remission of sin, being redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, it brings a peace into that life. Christ was born to die. Again, the Bible reminds us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful. And oh, he is wonderful. If you have experienced Jesus Christ's love and peace and joy in your life, you've come to the conclusion he is wonderful. He's always wonderful. Your spouse may not always be wonderful. Your grandkids may not always be wonderful, because we always do something wrong that agitates and irritates. But Jesus is always wonderful, because he doesn't do anything wrong. He meets our every need. He is a counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. He truly was sent to bring peace into the world. Like we're studying in Sunday school, the world is going to have 1,000 years of the peace of Christ. Again, people have that excuse. Well, if God's real, he needs to show himself to me. Well, he's going to show himself for 1,000 years. And those who have been longing for his return, they're going to enjoy that 1,000 years. But there are still going to be those that reject him, don't want his peace. They'll obey on the outside, because people are conditioned. Children are conditioned to obey on the outside, but the inside, you can't make somebody be happy on the inside. You can't make someone be obedient on the inside. In fact, we don't like anybody telling us what to do. When somebody says, you have to do this, something on the inside rages and says, you're not telling me what to do. But if the Lord Jesus Christ were to appear right now and tell each of us we must do, and he tells us something, as a child of God, we would do it. But you realize those that don't know Christ, there's one thing they have to do. That is trust him. Trust his plan of salvation. Trust what he did on the cross of Calvary. Not their way. Many people are trusting their own way and they have no peace. You realize there are a lot of religious people in the world that have no peace? And they're very faithful to what they're doing and what they believe, and they have no peace on the inside. They're trying to pay their way to heaven. They're trying to say enough prayers. They're trying to light enough candles. They're trying to attend as many services as possible. They're trying to be obedient with no peace on the inside, because they don't have a relationship with the Prince of Peace. They don't realize he came, he was born, he lived the sinless life, he died for sins he did not commit so we could have his peace on the inside. So we could do, we could obey. Even though I still don't want to do it, yet I've got joy on the inside that I'm to do everything heartily as unto the Lord. The Bible reminds us in Galatians chapter 4, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you have accepted Christ as your Savior, and I hope that you have, you're a child of God. You're a child of the King. You're an heir of God and joint heir with Christ. The Bible reminds us in Colossians 1:20, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Again, do you have peace ruling in your heart today? I didn't say, do you have peace in your life? Do you have peace in your heart? Is there a joy on the inside that sometimes you can't explain why you're joyous, though there's problems? Remember, the Bible reminds us to be ready to give an account of the hope that lies within you when somebody asks for that reason. Why are you so joyous in this time? Do you remember a few years ago the lockdowns, the mandates, the masks that were put onto the citizens of this country and around the world? Some people were happy to do it. But how did that make you feel? Because, again, only the Lord Jesus Christ should be in control of my life. because he has my best interest in mind. Again, he came so you could have a life of peace, a life of joy in your heart and in your soul. So as you go through this holiday season, remember that the greatest gift given is Jesus Christ. And do you know him as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life that you put your faith and trust in the blood of Jesus Christ, believing that he did die for your sins? It's not what anybody says. It's not even the words you say. There's not a perfect prayer that someone can pray that is going to give them salvation and get them into heaven. It's faith in what Jesus did. And then following him by faith, yielding yourself to him, letting him work his peace and his rest in your life, letting the Holy Spirit cultivate his fruit in your life. And the fruit is love, joy, peace, and others. But the love and the joy of peace is what people are looking for. So many people are looking for peace and looking to be loved and looking for joy in their life, and it's all found in Jesus Christ. Do you have the peace of Christ ruling in your heart? Go ahead and stand if you would. We'll close a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you this morning that Jesus Christ fulfills all scripture, that Jesus Christ satisfies every person's need. He completes us. And thank you, Father, that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, that he will never leave us nor forsake us. There's been many times, Lord, that we have walked away from you because of our own thinking. And Lord, you've been loving and gracious and patient with us, and you have drawn us back to you. And Lord, you've helped us to be able to repent and to come back to you. Lord, you've helped our faith to be strengthened. I pray, Father, that you would help our faith to continue to be strengthened in the time that we're living in. What I pray, Father, that every soul in the sound of my voice knows the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Because life is but a vapor. Time is short. Even if someone lives to be 99 years old, that time in this world is short compared to eternity. Father, we're not guaranteed this afternoon. So, Father, I thank you that Christ died. He rose again. He shed his blood for the remission of sin. And every soul that will put their faith on him, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Thank you, Father, for that promise. Thank you for that, Lord, that assurance that if we have Christ as our Savior, it can never be taken away. Thank you, Father, for what you do for us. Thank you for continuing to show us your love and your grace in each and every day of our life. As the piano begins to play, give you a few moments alone in prayer.